Oh, yeah. And there used to be a song that said, I wonder who in heaven lift Jesus. Y'all remember that song? Amen. I want somebody help me lift Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is the exalted one.
Amen.
He is the exalted one. Amen. And we need to lift him higher and higher and higher and higher. Amen.
Yes.
I wonder who would help me lift Jesus. Is there anybody know anything about Jesus?
Yes.
Right. Anybody know his goodness?
Yes.
His mercy?
Yes.
His loving kindness? Amen. Have he been good to you?
Yes.
Amen. He's been faithful. Yes, he has.
Amen.
He's been faithful.
Yes.
He has been faithful. Man. Now, I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for me.
That's
I'm
right.
going to lift the name
yes.
of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm going to lift them up when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it.
Amen.
I'm going to still lift up the name of Jesus. If nobody will help me, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got to worry about that, nigga. Y'all going to help me.
Yes.
Y'all going to help me today. Lift up the name of Jesus. He's good. He's good all the time. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Him all the time is good. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus.
Oh.
Nobody loves us like Jesus loves us.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody will forgive us like Jesus forgives us.
Amen.
Amen. He forgives us all the time.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes people want you to kind of act a little certain way before they forgive you.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you ain't going to do it the next time.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus is not like that.
Thank you, Jesus.
He forgives us every time.
Yes.
Oh.
He forgives us every time. He forgives us every time. Yeah, I know I'm waiting on it. He forgives us every time. They should break y'all. I'm gonna praise him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Don't praise him anyway. Because amen. Nobody can do us like Jesus.
That's right.
His name above every name.
Every
amen.
Name.
There's no other name for people, the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. 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 That's so true. So true. So true. We're gonna go to the Word of God for this morning. And we're gonna do part two. Now set your love on Jesus. Set your love on Jesus. This is part two of that message. And before we talked about the fact that what God wants most of all of his creation is love.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And loving him is simply responding to his love for us. He wants us to respond to his love for us. And love can't be forced.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, God first showed his love toward us by sending Jesus. And then he wants us to respond to that love by receiving Jesus
yeah.
as our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
We can't love on our own terms because only God knows what love is.
Amen.
We can think we know what love is. We can try to explain love. We can even try to, you know, love others. But except we love them through the love of God, our love is mere carnality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on conditions.
Mm-hmm.
God's love is not based on conditions. His love is unconditional love.
Thank you.
And that means he loves me when I'm lovable, and he loves me when I'm not.
Amen.
He loves you when you're lovable, and he loves you when you're not.
Amen.
And God's love is constant. It never changes. His love is constant. The reward of love is being able to what? Give more love.
Mm-hmm.
The more you love, the more you can give love. And we talked last time about in Luke 10:27, it says this. So we asked and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. I remember reading that scripture and wondering, how do I love God? How do I love him with all my heart? How do I love him with all my soul? How do I love him with all my strength? And how do I love him with all my mind? We talked about that some in our first message. And it says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we got one commandment. That commandment is love.
Man.
That commandment is love. Because love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yeah.
If you love, you don't have to worry about nothing else. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him.
Okay.
If you love your neighbor, you're not going to do harm to him. If you love those in your household, you're going to do good to them.
Yeah.
And no harm.
Yeah.
So love is the first and great commandment. But we are to set our love upon Jesus and abide and remain and stay there. We are to set our love upon Jesus and we are to abide, remain, and stay there. So how do we measure our love for him? How do we love God the way he loves us? How do we do that? One thing about the word of God that I've learned, one thing I've learned about God, we have grace to love. Because he first loved us, we have grace to love. Whatever God commissioned us to do, whatever God tells us to do, he gives us grace to do it. Before he even asks you or tells you to do something, he gives you grace to do it.
Yeah.
So there's no such thing as we can't do it. You know, because we have grace to do it. I know sometimes we feel like we can't do certain things, but if God said do it, you have grace to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. You just have to lean into that grace and believe that God's grace is there.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission, our aim, well, our one dream should be loving Jesus. And everything else is our assignment. This is sort of like a review. The way God loves God is the way God loves us. Jesus said that the same love, the same way I love you, is the same way that the Father loves me. Also, as I have loved you, I want you to love one another. Love one another that same way. We are to find the love of Jesus and love him back. We find this love in relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't love God. You can't know God. You can't love God unless you have received him as your Savior by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
That's the only way relationship is formed. Once you have that relationship, then you have the love of God in you, really.
Yeah.
Because you have the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. So love is in you. I often tell people, and they'll say, pray for me to have more patience. I need more patience. I said, are you born again? Yeah. I said, well, you actually got patience. That's for something you already got. You already got patience. You already got faith. You already got long suffering. You already got meekness. You already got the fruit of the Spirit in you. You just have to lean into that by acknowledging what you already have and ask the Holy Spirit to help you walk with it. So, how do we measure our love for Jesus? We're going to talk about that today. How do you measure your love for Jesus? Jesus linked loving him and obedience together. He linked loving him and obedience together. Let's look at John 14:15. It said in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said it more than one time, so we're going to read again another verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you want to know how much you love Jesus? Look at how obedient you are to him. You can measure your love to Jesus by looking at how obedient you are to him. How committed are you to his word? How committed are you to doing what he tells you to do? How committed are you to being led by Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you? How obedient are you in giving up what you want, what your flesh wants,
yeah,
and obeying the Lord? That's how you measure your obedience. God's love for us stays the same. His love for us never changes. It doesn't fluctuate by our performance or our behavior. It doesn't depend on how much we love him. He loves us no matter how much we love him.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he loves those that don't even love him.
Yeah.
His love is constant. But our love for him can definitely increase, and it should.
Yeah.
Our love for him should increase. The amount of love we walk in, how much love we walk out, that can increase. Why? Because what? Our obedience increases. Don't raise your hands. How many here are 100% obedient to the Lord? So let me know what? Our love can increase. Because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The more we love him, the more we obey him, the more our love increases. The more we become intimately acquainted with him, the more we're going to love him. Isn't it easier to know somebody, to love somebody you know,
yeah,
than to love somebody you don't know?
Yeah.
So the more we get to know Jesus, the more we become intimately with him, the more time we spend in the word of God, the more time we spend fellowship with him, the more we get to know him. There's a saying that says, to know him is to love him. So the more we get to know him, the more we get to love him. The more we love him, the easier it becomes to obey him. Isn't that something? You got two sides of a thing. The more you obey him, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you obey him. So I'm thinking, we don't have an obedience problem. We have a love problem.
Yes.
Yeah, because if our love increases, our obedience increases. So now we know that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. We know how to do that. But how do we remain in his love? How do we abide or remain in his love? How do we abide or remain in his love? Jesus connected keeping his commandments to abiding or remaining in love. Let's look at John 15:10. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Okay, Jesus. You said if I obey you, if I keep your commandments, that shows I love you. Now you're telling me if I keep your commandments, I will abide in your love. There's something about obedience that keeps us in the Father's love. It's not that he loves us less or that he withdraws his love when we disobey, but it's something about obedience that opens us up to receive the Father's love. It's something about disobedience that closes our hearts off and keeps us from walking in or flowing in that love that's already been given to us. So that's why obedience keeps us in the Father's love. That obedience, that obeying God, that stepping out in faith, even when it doesn't feel good, even when it feels uncomfortable, even when you don't know where you're going, you don't know where God is taking you, you might have fear, you might have apprehension, but to step out in obedience to the Father's command, it keeps us in the Father's love. Because of what? It keeps our hearts open to receiving that love. Love is still flowing. Love is still coming. But obedience keeps our heart open to receiving that love. Then Jesus said, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus kept his Father's commandments. He abided in the love of the Father because he kept the Father's commandments. Then Jesus ties obedience and love to remain in joy and be full of joy. If you didn't know how important obedience was, you begin to get the picture. You begin to get the picture. John 15:11 says, now in John 15:10, he just said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Then in the very next verse, he says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. There is joy in being obedient. There's joy in obeying Jesus, obeying the word of God, obeying what God speaks to our hearts and tells us to do individually. There's joy in that. There's joy in that. If your joy ever gets low and you don't have much joy, check out whether or not you've been obeying God or not. Check out and see, well, God, what did God tell me to do that I didn't do? I decided I want to do things my way. I decided I want to do things on my own. Because there's joy in being obedient. Let's look at John 14:21. John 14:21, I'll read you King James Version. And he who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. Jesus said this over and over again. He said it over and over again. He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Love God by realigning your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to him. What I mean by that is, your heart divided? Is your whole heart toward the Lord, or is your heart somewhere else? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So check out where you spend most of your time, where you get most of your attention. You might just find out where your heart is. Our soul, our will, our mind, and our emotion, we align that with being obedient to God. Are my emotions obeying God? Are my thoughts obeying him? Have I yielded my will to him, or am I trying to have everything just like I want? I used to be like that. I used to want everything just like I wanted it. I wanted control. Because when I grew up, mama had control. Then I got married and my husband had control. I want some control. I want some control. So I had this tough time submitting to God, realigning myself, you know, beating him, because I figured I got to control something, God. But you know, I found out that trying to control, well, first place, you're not controlling anything anymore. You're deceived, like I was. You think you ain't control, but you ain't controlling nothing. You ain't controlling nothing. You just try to control something, but you're not controlling anything. The thing is to yield to the Lord. Allow him to just submit. Submit is not a bad word. Submit. The Bible tells the wives to submit to the husband. Then it tells them to submit to each other.
Amen.
Then it tells us to submit to each other in the body of Christ. Amen. And then we ought to submit to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So submit is not a bad word.
No.
Allow him to have control. Just yield it all to him. Give it to him. Yeah. That thing you worried about, that thing you think you got to handle on your own, give it to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let him do it. Just let him do it. And a lot of times I say, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you. I don't know what to do with it. Even if I feel like I want to do something with it, I'll say, no. God, I'm submitting that to you. I'm giving that to you. I'm not going to do it like I want to do it. I'm not even going to think about doing it like I want to do it. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to let you work it out. And when I do that, I see how God works things out. And it's so much easier than when I'm trying to work out things myself. But let him do it. That's part of loving him. That's part of setting your love on him. When you submit everything to him, let him work it out, let him do it. Even we worry about, and I used to do that all the time, we worry about our weaknesses, worry about what we don't have, what we can't do, and this thing and that thing. Submit that thing to the Lord. Give it to him. Give it to him. He's our boldness. He's our wisdom. He's our strength. He's everything we need. So set your love on him by submitting all that to him. That's what Jesus did. He submitted everything to the Father by obeying the Father. He did that. Even if it looked like it was going to cost his life, even if it looked like, you know, things weren't going to work out, he submitted everything to the Father and he obeyed the Father. The more we obey him, the more we'll experience his love. Loving God is simple. The call to obey him is to love him. If we obey him, we will stay in his presence. Whatever he says, do. He has already released grace for us to be obedient. Corinthians 16, 14 says, now 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says this, pursue love. Pursue love. Mm-hmm. So that tells us we can get more love because we're out of pursue love. What's that mean, pursue love? Do wherever love takes you. Whatever is going to be more love in that situation, you pursue that. Don't pursue something that's going to bring division, but pursue something that's going to bring love in the situation. The Message translation says this, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Go after a life of love, just like your life depended on it, because it does. 1 Corinthians 16, 14 says this, that all that you do, be done with love. That all that you do, be done with love. Let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. Serve the Lord with love and gladness. God delights in receiving our love. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. First John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if you're walking in fear, that just means you have not been made perfect in the perfect love of God. God loves the love that's perfect. So that means that there's no other love that's perfect but the love of God. So if we're walking in fear, that means we have not been made perfect in love.
That's right.
Love does not carry with it punishment, but freedom.
Yes.
It carries freedom, not punishment. Fear is this thing about we're going to be punished somehow or another. Somehow or another, if I do this, something's going to happen that I don't like. Now, fear carries a punishment with it. But love is not like that. Love carries freedom, not punishment. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. I want to briefly talk about the story about Abraham and Isaac. In the Old Testament, they were taught to fear God. They were taught to obey God out of fear. In the New Testament, we are taught by Jesus to what? Obey God out of love, not fear. So Abraham waited a long time to have a son called Isaac. Jesus told him he's going to have a son, him and Sarah. And Abraham was 100 years old. I think it took about 25 years for that to come to pass. And then God told him that Isaac was going to be his heir. Through Isaac, the whole earth would be blessed. But then one day, God up and told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take that son, Isaac, the one whom you love, and go to where I show you and sacrifice him. I don't imagine what Abraham might have been going through. On the one hand, he might be thinking, okay, God, you said this is going to be my heir. And then you're going to go tell me to sacrifice him? Abraham knew what sacrificing Isaac meant. I mean, meant putting him on the altar, binding him on that altar, killing him, and then setting him on fire. And then the Roman decided to do the sacrifice. And the Roman went up to God, and all that was left was ashes. It said in the New Testament that Abraham believed that from the ashes, God would raise up Isaac. But think about what Abraham had to go through to obey God. He had a whole night to think about it. The next day they went to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham had to decide, do I obey God? Who do I love more? He doesn't say that, but I'm quite sure that came up. Who do I love more in Abraham? Who do I love more? Do I love Isaac more or do I love God more? Do I give Isaac up and I keep God? What do I do? Abraham chose God. And God gave him back Isaac. A lot of times we think obeying God is going to cause us to give up something. But what you give to God, you don't know what he's got to give back.
That's
back
right.
To
yes, that's right.
If you just obey him. If you just obey him. I want to close today by reading 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter in the Message Translation. That's my conclusion for today. I'm going to close this. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, in the Message Translation. I'm going to read the whole thing. It says this: if I speak of human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain jump and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have, or love doesn't envy. It doesn't always want what they see other people got. Love doesn't strut. Love not proud. Love doesn't have a swelled head. So love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. It's always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others.
Yes.
Doesn't rebel when others grovel. Doesn't pleasure in the flowering of truth. I'm sorry. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with everything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Love never dies. I'm going to pause for that for a minute. I was reading in Matthew today where Jesus went to the temple and he's read Isaiah in the temple about the Spirit of the Lord upon me, that wanted me to do, you know, different things that he said. And they got mad and thrust him out of the temple, take him and throw him over a cliff. But you know what happened? All of a sudden they couldn't recognize who Jesus was. He walked right out of the crowd. He walked right out of the crowd. So what? Love never fails. It never fails. So love goes up with everything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Read in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be canceled. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows it all. Nobody. I don't care who they are. Some of us know more than others, but nobody knows it all. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see all things, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of all of these three is love. People are going after faith now more than they're going after love. Mm. But the Bible says the greatest of these is what?
Love.
We ought to pursue love. Mm-hmm. You know what I believe? If we pursue love, if we let love be our aim, mm-hmm. then all that other stuff will follow.
Yes.
Everything will
yes.
follow.
Yes.
If we walk in the love of God, everything else is going to follow.
Yes.
We want a good home. We want a good marriage. I'm a widow, but I did when I was married. It was alive. We want a good home. We want a good marriage. We want our children to grow up and be successful and know God. Mm-hmm. But if we pursue love, mm-hmm. and we love those children the way God loves us, mm-hmm. we won't have to worry about all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Because love is what we should be pursuing. Mm-hmm. Let's stand and pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we are to set our love on you, Jesus. We are to just pursue love, pursue that love, to know the love you have for us, to walk in the love you have for us, and then love you back with that same love. God, we thank you that you have put your love on the inside of us. It's in our spirit, man. And we are to renew our minds, and we are to spend time with you and meditate on the word of God and seek you and pursue love so that love on the inside of us can flow out of us to others. And God, then you said if we love you, we will keep your commandments. If we love you, we'll obey you. And that's how we measure our love for you.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father God, help us to be obedient children that submit to you because we trust you. Mm-hmm. Because you love us and you only have good for us.
Yes, God.
It's never your desire to do anything to harm us. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't we trust you? Mm-hmm. If I lose my life for you, God, I can trust you that I'll pick it up again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, God, help us. Help us. We need you. We can't do anything without you. Just like you said in your word, Father God, that you could not do anything without the Father. Then you said we couldn't do anything without you. Mm-hmm. So we need you to help us,
yes,
to walk in this love. Mm-hmm. To love one another the way you love us. So that the world would know we're your disciples because of they see the love we have one for another. Mm-hmm. They see the love. It's okay for the miracles. We want the miracles. We want the healing. We want all of that. But you didn't say that was how they would know us. You said they would know us by our love for one another. Yeah,
that's right.
So God, we seek to know that love. We seek to walk in that love. We seek to give that love out to others. Help us to know how powerful love is. It never fails. It never dies. It never gives up. All the others is nothing without love.
Yes.
So God, we thank you for love today. We thank you for how much you loved us.
Yes, God.
You loved us so much that you gave Jesus, your only begotten Son. And then Jesus gave his life. He suffered for us. Mm-hmm. He suffered for us. How little do we want to suffer? We don't want to suffer anything, God, but you suffered everything for us, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus. You suffered everything for us.
Yes.
You gave everything for us. And we want to give so little to you. Help us, Lord. Help us. Deny ourselves. Pick up our cross and follow you.
Yeah.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you with that love we have right now. We love you, Lord. We know we can love you more, but God, we love you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We say thank you, Jesus. Have your way in us, your church, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let me see you. This is our time of sharing and testimonies. And then we're going to have our prayer time and our dismissal.